Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 24th day of October, Anno Domini 2020, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Before we do the news, I should let everybody know, those of you who are listening on the stream or listening via and watching via YouTube. We are now live also on the air. The transmitter is back up
currently,
and we are back on the air. And so those of you who prefer to listen
via radio,
via the actual terrestrial radio, you can do that. That's now still a doable thing. So we're all over the place again. No, that's still not true. Okay. In the meantime, I'll read the news. Whether you like it or not, Microsoft has been stealthily adding software to your computer or changing the software you have. This week, Microsoft has been force restarting Windows 10 computers in order to install unwanted web apps. Just the latest proof that you don't own your PC. Microsoft does. On Monday, Microsoft says it was at least partly a mistake.
Yeah.
After
I got some swamp land for you, too.
After an enormously huge outcry, and will be pausing the migration that brought web apps to your start menu. Originally, the idea was that any website you pinned to the start menu would launch in Microsoft Edge, and it's simply intended to turn those shortcuts into more visible tiles. But in what Microsoft is calling a bug, which originally they called a mistake, and before that they called it a migration.
Yeah.
Now it's a bug.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it'll be an oopsie. The change also turned its existing Microsoft Office web shortcuts into progressive web apps, or PWAs. That's something you can normally do from inside the Edge browser, but not something that should happen by itself. Microsoft says it actually, it's been pinning Office web shortcuts to the start menu since May of 2019. If we assume that practice is okay and give Microsoft the benefit of the doubt, we can see how this chain of events might have unfolded in a way Microsoft didn't plan. But that doesn't actually address any of the many people's concerns that have popped up online. For example, why was Microsoft using my start menu as free advertising for its Office products to begin with, web shortcut or no? Why do these shortcuts fire up Microsoft Edge instead of respecting my default choice of browser? Why does Microsoft believe it has the right to force restart my PC at all? What was so critical about this update to make that worthwhile? Microsoft has clearly heard some of your displeasure, and it's reacting to that, but it's not clear whether anything will actually change as a result. Microsoft is still advertising its own apps in your start menu alongside the programs you've actually installed. It's giving them premium space in your start menu without asking. They'll still open in Microsoft's own web browser, which the company no longer even lets you remove. And most annoyingly, the company isn't addressing its practice of forced updates and reboots. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft is changing apps on your PC. And your choices are, why not? It's theirs after all. That's mildly annoying. That's bad. That's outrageous. Heh. Windows. And other. So far, we have 23 votes in the poll. Windows is the number one choice.
I couldn't get that unpinned fast enough. That ticked me off so bad.
I bet.
Turn the machine on. That's the new Windows 10 machine. I had to replace the Windows 7 one. And I turn it on. Oh, Wait, because I don't turn my machine off. And here it is at the sign-in screen. And it's like, oh, shoot. I knew right off that it did some type of update. Sure enough, I go in there. And then, boom, the Edge browser is there.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, no, hell no. And I unpinned it, and I took it off my desktop. Deleted it right on off, and nowhere to be found.
Well, if you go to use the Office web stuff, the web versions of the Office apps, they will start an Edge whether you like it or not.
I don't use Office.
Right, right. This is why I run Linux and Chromebooks, because they don't force you to do anything.
Well, my Chromebook, you know, that's... Matter of fact, I just got another update on my Chromebook.
Yeah, there was a zero-day update. A problem, and they just said
we updated and needs to restart. Okay.
Yep. Boop. 10 seconds later, you're done.
Yeah, just boom, right back.
Yeah, it's real easy. At any rate, we'd like you to vote in the poll, please. And if you selected other, you can go to the forums at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forum, second forum down, is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 24-Oct-20. Microsoft is changing apps on your PC. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at our hotline, our text line, at 585-205-8887. But here's the interesting thing. Not only can
None
you give us a
call. None of that was interesting?
All that was interesting, but even more interesting, I should say. Even more interesting is the fact that we are still in a pledge drive. We only come to you twice a year. And this is, I believe, the last week. It's certainly the third week, and I believe it's the last week. Unless, of course, we don't hit our goal. So this is entirely on you as to whether or not this is the last time we come to you for this stuff for a while. But we would really like to meet our goal. As you may have heard, the terrestrial radio stream was down for much of the morning for repairs. Those repairs are not free. And we know that you rely on us, and we rely on you now more than ever. I realize these are parlous economic times, but you know what? America is coming together and working together, and this is the way it happens. And you can come together with us and work with us and become a member of this station. There are many, many levels that you can become a member at. Before we go any farther, I do want to talk about at least one of those levels, because it comes with a great, great new thing, the $150 level. One of the benefits that you can select. Well, first, you get two, not one, but two enhanced Jazz 90.1 membership cards.
Matter of fact, he just added some more.
Yep.
He just added. So that's why we always tell folks, you know, go to the website, because Rob is always doing due diligence, him and the crew, of adding more onto.
And let me explain before you go farther. Yep. Let me explain what more of.
Yep.
With the member card, you can get discounts. Sometimes it's a discount. Sometimes it's a buy one, get one, whatever it is.
Yeah.
At many restaurants and hotels and events. And
wineries
and all kinds of things all the way around. And he added more, as Dave said. So that you get two of those cards. So there's less fighting. Is to gets to use it.
Well, it's great also, though, you know, especially if you go to a restaurant and it's like, you know what, this is a real good one. And maybe the husband wants to take his wife there again as a surprise for their anniversary of that. Having the second card, it's a win-win. You get it's to take win-win. Her back to that place that she enjoys so much, and you still save more money.
Right. But at the $150 level, you have a choice of things you can get. And one of those things is the brand new, never before seen Soundbites wireless phone charger, which works with both Android and iPhones, the new iPhone 12.
iPhone 8 and higher.
iPhone 8 and higher, and many Android phones have wireless charging. And Steve is showing the charger on the camera. If you're watching us on YouTube, it's quite lovely, very stylish.
Yeah, very slim.
Yep.
You know, doesn't take a lot of space, and just being able to take your phone and just set it on there, not have to hook up other wires or all that other stuff, and unconnect it if you got a quick go somewhere. It's very convenient and easy to do.
Yeah, when wireless charging first came out, all the comments were, "What's wrong with just plugging a wire in?" And then when people got wireless chargers, "Oh my God, I can't live without a wireless charger. Just set it down and it charges."
Yeah,
I know.
I got 10 of them all around my house now.
Don't have to think about it at all.
And here's a tip, by the way. If you pledge $150, you get the Soundbites wireless phone charger. If you then call back and pledge another $150, you get a second wireless phone charger for work.
Ooh, there you go.
That's not something you're going to find anywhere else.
No.
So that's an important thing.
And as we all know, because that has been one thing that we have said on this show for the longest time, and manufacturers hopefully will catch on to it soon, is the battery life in a lot of phones. Let's see, what's a polite word?
Is junk.
Yeah. They don't hold a charge for beans.
Right.
And you're always, "Oh, shoot, I got to recharge it. It's getting low. You know, it's going to die on the way home." Well, with the second charger, like Nick said, you have it at work, you just set it on there, and it's charging. Because more and more folks are using their phones throughout the whole day, whether it's streaming a TV program or, a news broadcast or whatever, or listening to this station. You're eating up battery.
Right.
And that's the whole thing with it. Batteries stink as far as holding a long charge
right
in their phones.
But now you'll have the wireless charger. You just set it down.
Not
right
an
on
issue.
It's easy. It's fast. It's convenient. You should be doing that. I don't know why you're not. What the heck?
Yeah, really.
All right. We did get a question in, and I will read it, and then we'll talk. I'm asking for help with a problem my 90-year-old father experienced with his computer, which may be of interest to your listeners. Last week, he fell victim to a scammer that called and convinced him to allow remote access to his machine. They used TeamViewer and Zoho to take control of his computer for 4 hours with his camera activated.
Whoa.
We know this because my sister arrived and shut it down. I was able to print out the Google history report and saw bank accounts, credit cards, emails, etc.
Ouch.
All accessed and compromised and potential new accounts opened. I believe a lot of the access was assisted due to automatic login icons, saved users,
yeah,
and password stuff on his screen. We are now in the process of stopping any purchases and other damage controls. He has given me the computer to clean and give back, but I have concerns. They include, what is the best way to remove these problems on the computer to give back to him? He does not have any restore disks. I hesitate to use it to go online to get products to install, such as a Security Tango or Revo One installer at this time. Do you recommend procedures or products such as LifeLock or others for these situations? I'm hoping to convince him to just get his games and email restored, but not the bank and credit lookups. I would also ask you to inform your listeners that no one is, and pay attention, mm-hmm, people, no one is immune from these scammers. They can be very convincing. It just takes one unattended moment or lapse in judgment.
Companies will never call you to tell you you have a problem.
Right.
No.
So, period.
Right.
So if anyone calls you, they are lying. Do not listen.
Right. So first, there are a couple of things that you can do. You can go to Microsoft's website and download a legitimate copy of Windows 10. You don't say whether it's Windows 10 or not, but if it is Windows 10, you can, if you want to, as a last resort. I'll say this first, but it's a last resort. You can download a perfectly clean copy of Windows 10. Make sure before you do anything, you properly write down the serial number for that, for that version of Windows 10, the license key, and then verify it, check it, make sure it is your license key, and then you can put it back in. But you can just wipe out the machine and reinstall everything with a clean copy.
Yeah,
and of course, I would suggest you download that clean copy on another machine somewhere.
The big problem is they didn't break into the computer. They didn't install any malicious software. They installed legitimate remote control software that real tech that people use all the time. So
there is viewer and stuff. Yeah,
there is nothing to clean. It's all legitimate software.
Right.
Yep.
But you can also, on another machine, download Revo Uninstaller and all the parts of the Security Tango and run them. Here's the issue. First, if you're going to do that, do not use a thumb drive or use a thumb drive you're willing to throw away. If you can, get an SD card because they are lockable. Once you install all the software on an SD card on your known clean machine, you lock it and then put it in the machine that's been compromised because then it won't be damaged. Or, again, like I said, throw away the device you use. Just throw it away. The problem is if you run the Security Tango and it says you've got a rootkit, it may not clean it. The only guaranteed way to clean a rootkit is to remove it from the system entirely, to remove the hard drive from the system entirely, and clean it on another machine.
It has to be physically hooked up to another machine as a second drive, so that when you boot it up, it's not being accessed. And you can, from your main computer, then access that other drive.
Not run any of the programs. Right. Never run any of the programs.
Right. And you want to make sure you get that TeamViewer uninstalled to prevent the people from logging back in again, because that's the point of TeamViewer, is to let people log into your computer.
Yep. Right. So if you find that you have a rootkit, and some of the products that are in the Security Tango will tell you that, if you find you have a rootkit, you have two choices. You can clean it up yourself by removing the drive and putting in it some sort of external connector and blah, blah, blah. Or at that point, take it to a reputable dealer and let them do it for you. But those are that's pretty much all you can do at that point for those things. And everybody needs to listen to this. I don't care what operating system you're running, including Chromebook. If someone comes in and takes over your machine and has access to all of your stuff and you've saved your passwords on that computer, they have access to those passwords because you've let them in. It's not that they broke in.
You let
them in.
Yeah. And no company will ever call you.
Ever.
Right.
They don't have the manpower to call literally billions of customers to tell them they have a problem. And so anyone calling you is lying. Hang up.
Rightfully, they don't even know that.
They have no idea.
Unless you're broadcasting, what you're doing and everything else with the internet, that's stupid.
Yeah. And we had a customer that got hit for $25,000 on credit cards. They made her buy, they claim to be from Apple. They can spoof the call ID. So if the call ID says Apple, Microsoft, HP, there's another HP fake driver going around right now.
Right.
No, these companies will never call you. And if you try to call them for help, don't use a search engine.
Right.
Because fake phone numbers
will get
popped up. Because
redirected.
The bad guys buy ads saying, we do HP support, we do Apple support. And
so when you search for Apple support,
you'll get a fake phone number and call them. You think you're calling Apple and let them into your computer. Now, Apple, most of the companies will remote access, but you have to call the right phone number to get into the real
support.
And
that's the thing. Also, check the URL because they can do up a website that you go to it and you would swear to God it's the official site because they grab all the, watermarked images. Thank you, and put those in there, and they make it look as official as all get out there with the various logos and certifications and this and that, and because they want you to be lured in. They're not going to do a half butt job on that because they want to get you in and get you directed to that they can now own you.
And some of the URLs are tricky. There was one going around for a while. It was applesupport.com.
Wow.
That's fake.
Clearly.
It's apple.com.
Right.
And so you think you're at the right place because it looks like the right URL, but it isn't.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I hope they've got that now.
Well, right now that's parked, but a lot of the companies will buy misspellings of their own name. They'll buy the fake URLs to stop other companies from getting into them.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was to have missed getting nick.com by one day.
Oh.
One
seriously?
Day, I could have turned around and saw Nickelodeon got it.
Oh.
I missed it by one day. I can't imagine what that they would have paid for nick.com.
Yep.
That's why I have nickf.com instead. Yeah,
because no one can spell Nickelodeon.
That's true. That's
hard.
True, they cannot.
Too hard.
But yeah, so, yeah, look, people, the
So what, now what you do is you wait for, look at the expiration date and wait for it to lapse and then grab it before they renew.
I did that for years and they never let it lapse.
So they have somebody good in their IT.
Yeah, right, exactly. well, I had somebody who kept trying to get my daughter's address, ameliarose.com.
Oh, probably for his daughter?
Well, she owns Amelia Rose Designs.
Oh, okay.
And she wanted ameliarose.com. And, I, you know, I thought about it, but it's the only address like it on the web, and it's hers, and I'm not going to give it up.
Mm-mm.
So that's all right, too.
I'm going to throw in a shameless plug here.
Oh, here we go.
Folks want to stay tuned definitely for the second hour.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Because it's been a long time coming, but I actually did finally come up with an Uncle Dave story.
Here it is.
And this is one that you're not going to want to miss, and that's all I'm going to say.
That's all you need to say because people are excited. It's Uncle Dave. And listen, people, give us a call if to ask a question, but equally to make a pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It's easy, it's fast, it's convenient, and it keeps us on the air. You had a sample of us not being on the air this morning. Imagine if the transmitter had not come back on before noon. And we don't want that sort of thing to happen ever again. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Scroll down, and you'll see the list of people, the soundbite stuff, if you scroll down on that page, and you can get whatever you want. And remember, at the $150 level, you get that amazing, beautiful Soundbites wireless phone charger for both Android and iPhone models that do wireless charging. It's a Qi charger, QI, which is not quite interesting. It's just Qi. And you can charge pretty much any phone that'll take Qi-type charging. Any device. Doesn't even have to be a phone. I don't know if there are watches and tablets and other things that do Qi charging.
The watch is wireless, but I don't think it's Qi.
Okay. Well, you can test that out.
Yeah, I could.
You could.
I have a charger here.
That's exactly right. But yeah, so give us a call. We want to stay on the air. We want you to be listening to us. You heard, if you logged in, if you tuned in with your radio early, you heard that we were off the air. Or you didn't hear that we were on the air, I guess, is the way to put that. But we're hoping that that never happens again. And the way to make sure of that is to make that call and make that pledge. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 30 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are, gasp, Soundbites.
Still,
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, after 31 years.
Yep. Now, we should talk a little bit about Jazz-O-Matic.
Yeah.
And remember, you can give us a call and ask us a question at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415 or text us at 585-205-8887. Until you do, we'll talk about the pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about Jazz-O-Matic. You heard an announcement about it, assuming you listened to the announcements. And the deal with Jazz-O-Matic is that many of us cannot afford, a $150 hit all at once, but maybe we could afford $12.50 a month. So if you go to the give us a call or go to the website and decide to do Jazz-O-Matic, you can say, I want to give $12.50 a month for 12 months, and we will then automatically deduct it from your bank account, with your permission, of course, and you will get the benefit of the $150 membership. So it's actually pretty doggone easy, quite honestly.
Spreading it over time and making it less painful.
And it's $12.50 a month. How do you not afford $12.50 a month for something as magnificent as this show and a wireless charger with our logo on it?
And with the information that we supply to you each week.
We hear from people every week. Thank you, you saved me hundreds of dollars of repair. Thank you, you saved me hours of work. Thank you, thank you. Well, great, but what we really need you to do is turn that thanks into a monetary pledge.
Well, we actually hear people call us on the air.
Right.
Just a couple weeks ago, we had, a caller call in and say, that, because we always love to kid about it.
Right.
We'll sit there and, they go, call in, what you told us to do, or do this and do that, it worked, I'm up, I'm running, thank you so much. And we'll sit there and kid and say, oh, it did work.
Yeah, right.
Put that in our books. But, that's the whole thing of this show. We like to have fun, make computing fun. That is something that we set out from day one, is to have fun doing computing and make your life easier. And we come each week, which we have done now for over 31 years, to help you get through various stumbling blocks. And we've helped thousands, I would say literally thousands of folks over the years, solve their computer problems or open them up to other things that they could do with the computer to save them money.
Right, right. I will say this. If we meet our goal, that's great. If we exceed our goal, maybe they'll buy me a new stinking chair.
Wait a minute. Yours is better than mine.
Yeah, it is, but it's not good.
Yours is too low. Mine is too high.
Yeah.
And yeah. I got something.
I feel like a four-year-old now.
And all we can see on the camera is the top of your head.
That's okay.
You know what he says about that? Shine it up.
It's my best part. You got it. That's exactly right.
Shine it up, baby.
My best feature.
Still think about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. On sunny days.
Yeah. Hey, I'm getting there. I got it in the back.
Yeah, you do. That's okay. So speaking of all these phishing attempts and people stealing this and that and the other thing, the shift to remote working spurred Microsoft and Amazon to the top of the heap for cyber criminals to use as lures in the third quarter of this year. Microsoft is number one when it comes to hacker impersonations, with Microsoft products and services featuring in nearly a fifth of all global brand phishing attacks in the third quarter of this year. In fact, Microsoft leapt from fifth place in the second quarter to first place for the third quarter, which ended in September, as phishers continued to capitalize on remote workforces created by the coronavirus pandemic. Behind Microsoft were DHL, Google, PayPal, Netflix, Facebook, Apple, WhatsApp, Amazon, and Instagram in that order. 44% of all phishing attacks were delivered by email, followed closely by web, and then mobile was a distant third. The top three phishing brands exploited by email phishing attacks were Microsoft, DHL, and Apple. On the web, it was Microsoft, Google, and PayPal. And for mobile, it was WhatsApp, PayPal, and Facebook. None of these companies, as Steve has reiterated, will ever make contact with you for any reason ever, ever, ever.
And they can't now, even if they decided to start doing it.
Right.
Because you can't trust it.
Right. Remote workers are a focal point for hackers. There are currently billions of people now working remotely, many of them doing so for the first time in their lives. The sudden change has left many companies and remote workers unprepared to handle the latest cyber attacks. Hackers sensing big opportunity are imitating the brand most known for work, Microsoft. In terms of top phishing efforts during mid-August, researchers witnessed a malicious phishing email trying to steal credentials of Microsoft accounts. The attacker was trying to lure the victim to click on a malicious link, which redirected the user to a fraudulent Microsoft login page. As Dave said, and as Steve said, they look exactly like the real page. Also of note, during September, researchers noticed a malicious phishing email which was allegedly sent by Amazon and was trying to steal users' credit information. The email said that the user's account was disabled due to too many login failures and pointed the user to a fraudulent Amazon Billing Center website in which the user is instructed to enter billing information. Look, if you get that, just go to Amazon yourself and try to log in. Mm-hmm. If you can, it's a fake email. During the coronavirus panic, Amazon has seen explosive growth as many rely on it for goods throughout the quarantine. We expect Microsoft imitations to continue as we turn into the new year. We encourage all you remote workers to be extra skeptical when receiving an email. If you get an email about your Microsoft account, you should have your guard up. Have you been phished? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at our text line, 585-205-8887.
We often get people who have will come into our store with their Macs and saying, Microsoft called me and said, I have a problem. Well, you don't have anything from Microsoft.
Right.
You have a Mac. You don't even have Office. You're using, you know, Apple's programs. So it was almost refreshing when some person brought in their Windows PC and said, Apple called me and said, I have a problem.
All right. They're nice. Really getting creative. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. So let me get this straight, or straighten me out, perhaps. I got some emails recently, and in the email, the subject line, there was information that I had sent out in personal emails, and I use Gmail. So for that, I send out some emails in some cases, and there's some, I won't give you the information, but it was an address, let's say XYZ or 123 Main Street. And that address, which I only had sent out in that email, appeared in the subject line of an advertisement type email.
Right.
And I'm confident that the person I had sent this email to did not personally release that information to anyone.
Right. So here's the deal. You want to know how it got out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the deal. One of you has some sort of virus.
Spyware.
Worm, spyware, whatever you want to call it. Malware.
Like a keylogger.
Well, it could be a keylogger. Mm-hmm. It could be just something that's
sitting there
grabbing
sniffing.
Their email.
There are a bunch of them that will read your email and read your clipboard looking for a Bitcoin address so they can steal all your Bitcoins.
Right. So what happens in many cases is, let's say you sent something Gmail to Gmail. It is encrypted as it leaves your machine. It is encrypted at Gmail's site, and is it encrypted when it goes down to the other machine. But when you're composing it and when they're reading it, it is by definition decrypted. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to read it.
And if you didn't send it to another Gmail user, it would be sent in the clear along the way somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And someone else's computer, someone mail server somewhere even, could be infected with something that's reading all of the information.
That's right. So in general, when you send something Gmail to Gmail, it is encrypted all the way. But once it hits their machine, it is unencrypted so that they can read it and therefore vulnerable. And as Steve said, if you send it to someone who's not on Gmail, it is unencrypted somewhere along the way so that the other machine can read it.
And that's true of all the email providers. It's encrypted.
Right, it's all of them.
It's encrypted within their own system, but as soon as it leaves their system to go to somebody else's system, it could be decrypted.
All bets are off.
Right, and the same thing would happen, for example, if somebody sent you a Gmail thing from Outlook. it would have to be decrypted to go from Outlook to Gmail, where it would be re-encrypted, but there is a time when it is unencrypted.
Sure. Wow. That makes things much more difficult.
Though. Yeah, generally speaking,
yep.
Generally speaking, you should assume email is a postcard. Anyone can read it along the way. They probably won't, right. But they could. And if you do need to send something secure, use a secure messaging app like Telegram or Signal or postal mail, because at least it's illegal to intercept postal mail.
Right, yeah.
It's still done all the time, but at least it's illegal.
Right.
Okay, well.
And there's also a lot of bad guys that collate data. You can go to Have I Been Pwned and see some of the breaches that have happened. And things that seem to be anonymous are often very easily de-anonymized, which is now becoming a word.
Which is a word, right.
Yeah, and so you may have thought you sent something just to that one person, but it may have ended up somewhere else, too.
Okay. I have a second question, if you have time for it.
Sure.
Yep. So I'm still using Office 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in October, Microsoft is ceasing support for that version of Office. Is there any kind of support that is being provided, any degree of security, for instance, that's being offered going down?
Once Microsoft gives up on a product, it's done.
Yeah, it's toast.
So there's no more security updates released. There's no more feature. I think they've already stopped feature updates. It's the security updates they're
right.
stopping now.
Right.
And so a lot of people are running into that. We're getting a lot of calls from people using Office 2011 and for Mac and Office 2010 for Windows. And yeah, so your choice is to buy 2019 for $150 or switch to one of the free programs
like
LibreOffice or Apple's Office Suite. Apple stuff or Google Docs, yeah. And they're all file compatible with the Microsoft stuff.
Yeah,
it's an extra step at your end. If you want to send a file to someone from LibreOffice, you have to make sure you send it as a Word file. Or maybe they have LibreOffice at their end.
No, you can also set LibreOffice to save files as Office equivalents.
Yeah.
And so,
by default, it would send it as an Office file.
Right, it would send it as a DocX. I did that for decades at work. I was running LibreOffice. Everybody else was running Microsoft Office. Nobody knew. I never had problems opening a document. I never had problems with a document I sent to anyone.
And
LibreOffice is
money.
Entirely free.
Yeah, I was just saying, you save quite a bit of money.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. What about that version that Sun Microsystems used to have it. I think it moved over to Sun
Star Office.
Yes, that's it.
Star Office became OpenOffice. OpenOffice was forked into LibreOffice. So they're all essentially the same thing, only LibreOffice is the newest one and the one that's still being updated.
And when Oracle bought Sun, everyone got mad at Oracle and forked LibreOffice.
Exactly. And right now, OpenOffice is still out there, but I don't know how often it gets updated. I haven't really looked at it in a while. I, like so many others, moved immediately to LibreOffice.
Yeah, that sounds like the path to go then, Libre. Okay. Well, thanks for the help again.
Sure, always.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. It's always disconcerting when you get an email, because those types of emails are now becoming common, too. You get an email saying, hi, I'm a hacker. I have your password. Here it is. And if you don't pay me X dollars, I'm going to release those naughty photos of you. And that is a password you used, because that password got lost in one of the literally billions of lost passwords that are available online.
Okay, we did get a text then, and it's no name. What's the difference between a mesh network and using an access point or extender? What's the advantage or disadvantage between them? Thank you, guys.
Okay, well, that's a lot of questions. Let's start with an access point. An access point is basically what you've got now. Your router, if you have a wireless router, it is an access point. That's what it is.
That also routes.
That also routes, right. There's a router, right, there's a router connected to it.
Is it router or router?
Yes. if you're in Australia, it's not router.
Yeah.
Any rate, one is the access point for your network, for your wireless network. An extender is a thing that your access point can only stretch out so far. So if near the edge of that stretch you put an extender, you get more range on that side. That's what an extender does.
And there was the old protocol was called WDS, or Wireless Distribution System.
Right.
A good way to think of it is if your wireless, say, only gets from the living room up to the kitchen, and then you've got some other bedrooms on the other side of that. All right, the extender will then take it from the kitchen past that down the hallway to the bedrooms.
The problem with extenders is that many of the protocols are chatty. That is to say, they take up a lot of your bandwidth talking to each other.
Yeah, like half the bandwidth goes back to your main router,
right,
and only half the bandwidth goes forward to really extend to the range.
Right. On the other hand, a mesh network is a series of access points that all talk to each other, and they... And so, for example, I can put one at the very front of my house, which takes care of my front half of my house and my porch and my front lawn and halfway into the street. Then I can put one in the dining room that takes care of the main part of the house. And then I can put another one in the kitchen that takes care of the backyard. And they all work as if they were one network.
So functionally, it extends your network.
Right.
But technologically, it does it better.
It does it much better.
Yeah.
And so the new way everybody's doing it is with mesh networks. They're not difficult to set up because they're designed to be easy to set up. So, for example, if you were to get Google's mesh network, you can do it right from your phone.
And that sort of always was the problem of extending networks and even now current mesh networks. It's best to use the same brand.
Oh, always.
So if you have a Linksys main network, get a Linksys extender. Now if you have an Eero mesh network, get another Eero to keep extending it. Don't try to mix brands.
Right.
Even though the protocols should be allowed to be mixed.
Right, you would think so. I mean, it's all the same. Yeah. It's all Ethernet. It's
in
all
practice, they don't.
802.11.
What annoys me the most is that they've stopped putting web servers in the access points for management, and now you have to use the app. So I have the Eero app for my Eero systems, and I cannot put a Google network, you know, mesh router on it because that requires the Google app.
Right.
So you can't mix the brands anymore.
Right.
Which is good for them, but not necessarily good for us.
Right. We'd like to thank Andrew from Rochester for his generous donation. Thank you, Andrew. As you may know, we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and you may have tuned in early today and noticed that we were off the air for much of the morning, and that's because the transmitter was being worked on. And that's just a taste of what it would be like to not have us out anymore. And you know, those transmitter fixings come out of our budget as well, by the way. None of this is free.
No, it's not.
And unbelievable, isn't it? And there's nobody who's bailing us out. We don't get government money. We don't get state money. We don't get local money. We don't get anybody's money except yours. When we say member supported, we ain't kidding. If you don't pledge, we don't stay on the air. It really is that simple. And you are counting on us more than ever these days. We know that. We know that people are listening more and because they're home all day. And,
yep.
And this is a great thing all week long and certainly on the weekend. You count on us more than ever, and we are counting on you more than ever. There's no, you know, our costs go up too, and there's nobody bailing us out. There's nobody backstopping us. It's you or it's nobody. So please make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org, as Andrew did. All he did was click that giant blue donate button, scroll down until he saw the soundbite stuff, and pledged. It was easy, it was fast, it was convenient, it took just a couple of minutes of his time, even if he's a two-finger typer, even if he's a one-finger typer, it took probably less than 2 minutes, even with one finger. And so it's easy and fast and convenient, and it keeps us on the air. And it makes us feel good to know that people care.
Well, one other thing folks have to realize, and it kind of brought it to mind to me last week because I wasn't able to be here. But yet we got such a strong crew between the three of us and with Rob that, you know, we take it upon ourselves, folks, to make sure that, say, one of us can't be here. We got other folks to fill in and still bring you a show every week. Because we worry about our listeners, because we know over the years you've come to rely on us for answers, entertainment, and a lot of knowledge and things that you might, you know, have a question about this or that. And we've always told you over the years, one of my biggest saying is the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. And that's why I think a lot of our listeners are very comfortable and calling in and asking the questions and that. Sure, some of them we do have a little fun with and that. You know, they'll say, well, I'm calling for a friend. Yeah, okay, over. You know, we'll have fun with that. And that's the whole thing about it. You've come over the years to rely on that, that, you know, we treat everybody with a lot of humor and everything else. But the key thing is you're walking away with a lot of knowledge. And that's why twice a year, only two times a year, really, the spring and the fall, we come to you and ask that, you know, you enjoy listening to us week after week. And like we've said before, we're the only talk show the whole week on this station. It's not like, you know, this is a talk radio station. It's jazz. And Rob put us right in the middle on a Saturday when you're out doing your running around and everything else. He put in sound bites. He took a chance on it. We said, we know our listeners won't let us down. And over the years, you folks have been there for us. And all we ask is that you do it again. Like Nick said, jazz-o-matic. Like, you know, the times are a little tough right now. You know, you folks are having whatever going on. Jazz-o-matic makes it so much easier. And the other key thing is you can stop it at any time. It's not something that you're locked into, you know, for a lifetime.
That's exactly right.
We make it easy for you folks.
And for those of you who are listening over the podcast, I haven't forgotten you. Only two of you during the week, only two of you actually were kind enough to make a subscription. If you're listening, why aren't you pledging? 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And for you podcaster, for those of you listening on the podcast, jazz901.org. Click the big blue donate button. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Uncle Dave, and you. It is top of the hour, and we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show. It's Soundbites, right here on the truly member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll get to the phones in just a moment. But first, let me thank Michael for his donation. Michael has joined Andrew and so many others as members of the Soundbites family. And it's easy enough to do. We are in the middle of a pledge drive. All you need to do is to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit that Donate Now button, and it's a big blue button. It's really kind of hard to miss.
Yeah.
Scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff. We're in the middle of a pledge drive. We'd really like to make our goal because we can't stay on the air without your money. It is that simple. You may have noticed that the transmitter was offline this morning. It was being repaired. It came back on just in time for our show, which is great. But that repair costs money. Those things aren't free.
Yeah.
So we need you to make that call. If you want to keep this show on the air, those of you who tuned in early, like I said, heard nothing but dead air, and we don't want that. We want to stay on the air. We want to stay bringing you these shows. And we know that you rely on us more than ever these days. And conversely, we rely on you more than ever. So please make that call. Make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And while you do that, we'll talk to Richard from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Richard. What's up?
DNS.
DNS.
Yes, it's affecting all my devices. I do believe that perhaps the problem is within my router, Netgear router.
Sure.
I don't know. It's my cell phone and my desktop and my laptops are all saying DNS issues. Please help me.
Okay. Yeah. What is the DNS setting in your router?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. DNS is domain name services. The way the internet works is you get to put in google.com, and that's fine, except that the internet doesn't understand google.com. What the internet understands is 172.217.10.110.
Like its phone number.
It's kind of its phone number.
Yeah.
But rather than having to memorize the phone number, you just have to memorize a name, which is so much more human-friendly. The problem is there's got to be some way to translate those names into phone numbers, and that's the domain name service. When you say go to google.com, your system says, I don't know where that is, but I know there's a name server out there that handles all the .com sites, so I'll ask them. And so it then asks the domain name server, the DNS, the domain name server, for the address for the name google.com. The DNS server sends back, oh, yeah, that's a 172.217.10.110. And then your computer says, oh, okay, now I know how to get there. Off it goes. You get Google.
And it does this in the fraction of a second.
Right. Sorry?
So please tell me in plain English what I must do to this Netgear router.
The easiest thing to do is to simply reset it.
Reset it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that should fix it.
Have you turned everything off?
Have you started by restarting it?
Yeah, have you shut everything down?
Indeed, I have done that a couple of days ago, yes. That's what I thought, but in what order should I shut them down and for
how long? All right, here you go.
Leave them shut down.
All right, the shutdown order doesn't matter.
Right, right. You can shut them all down, but here's the thing. When you go to turn them back on, you want to turn on your router first.
Turn on the internet router first.
Yeah.
Internet router.
Yep.
Internet router. What other kind of router is there?
Well, you've got
the thing
that connects to your provider. So let's say you're on Spectrum, it's going to be your Spectrum modem.
Spectrum modem. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So turn that on first.
On. Okay.
Then if you have another personal router, like a wireless router connected to that.
Your Netgear router.
Right. Turn that one on second.
Gotcha.
After about a minute or two.
Right. You wait a minute, then turn yours on and wait a minute. Then you can start turning on your computers.
Because your router is going to get its DNS information from...
DNS.
Right. It's going to get the information from the internet router, and the internet router gets it from your internet provider. So everything has... those three have to be turned on in the right order.
Okay. You're saying three. I have two. I have Spectrum modem.
Right.
On first, and then the Netgear router.
Right.
And secondly,
the other end of the internet router.
And then your devices a minute after that.
Right. You got to first let the Spectrum modem, and that could take more than a minute or so, because sometimes making the connections and resetting everything, you know, you'll see the lights flashing, and right. then all of a sudden they'll all light up.
Right.
So wait until you see them all light up, and then turn on your Netgear router.
Okay, gotcha.
Then after that, you can go around and start turning on your other computers. But
so
that,
you're saying doing all of that will reset the DNS then?
Yes, it will, sir.
Unless, it doesn't sound like it, though, unless you manually set DNS entries into your router.
Not that smart.
Yeah. Then this should do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What it sounds like is there was some sort of glitch, and Ooh. This will fix it. Now,
and you may want to leave everything off for like 20 minutes so it flushes all the cache.
Right. I was about to say, one of the things is that some different types of routers have a capacitor in them that keeps things charged even though the power is off.
Yep.
So you keep it off for 20 minutes, maybe half an hour.
Oh, really? Okay.
Just to make sure that it's really flushed out.
Okay. All right. I'm about to give you guys some money because you're worth it.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Yeah.
Thank you. Richard's about to join Michael and Andrew as a member of this station, and we are honored and delighted that they are. We need your help. We need you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And that just goes back to what I was saying before, that, you know, we're here for you folks to answer and solve your problems and your questions, and we try to walk you through it in a friendly way, that whether you're a high tech or just a beginner, that you can understand and go, oh, okay, the light comes on. And if we can accomplish that for you, we've done our job.
Yep.
And then your job now, though, is to pick up the phone just like he was and call and support us.
And let me talk for just a minute to the people who listen to our podcasts. What the heck, people? There are hundreds of you who listen to this podcast every single week. We average about 450 people a week.
Really?
Listening to the podcast. And over the last 2 weeks, we've had two pledges that weren't in Rochester.
Eh?
What about the rest of you?
What the fudge, over?
I know. I know you're not just a bunch of freeloaders, but I don't know why you aren't pledging. And it only takes a couple of minutes for you folks. If you want to call in during the show, it's 1-800-790-0415. That's a free call. Or you can pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it doesn't matter where in the world you are, at jazz901.org. Click the big blue Donate Now button. Scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff. And we are off to the races. Well, not actually off to the races. I don't gamble.
Right, but we wind up, you know, that way you don't listen. By doing it that way, you don't miss out on listening to the show.
Right.
Yep. You can be, you know, sitting there working on your computer or your laptop or your iPhone or your phone and still listening to the show, so you don't miss out and you can multitask.
Well, and I'm talking specifically to the people who are listening to the podcast during the week. Many of you listen while you're out running or doing whatever it is you do that isn't sitting in front of a computer, and we get that, and God bless you for that. But don't forget, make it the first thing you do. Tie a string around your finger, tie a ribbon around that old oak tree, tie a knot in your shoe, tongue tie yourself, I don't care what it takes. Make sure that when you get back home, you make that call and make that pledge.
Well, they can even do it on their phone. They can sit there and listen, you know, be listening to that podcast on their phone and go to the website at the same time and click on that same button. It's still
the same. Or do it right out of the app.
It's still the same secure connection.
Right.
And their information isn't going anywhere. Nobody's going to hack it. And, you know, Rob doesn't resell it. The only thing he ever does with the information that you give him is turn around and take your email address and send you back a thank you.
Right.
That's the only, that's as far as it goes, folks. Otherwise, your information stays very secure.
Right. And you should know that you can pledge directly online and directly through the podcast, through the app, software,
the app, yeah,
the app itself,
or the website.
Yeah. So there's no excuse. And I mean, hundreds of you listen every week, and I don't know why you're not part of this. You know, you're downloading that podcast every week from the Soundbites website, and you may think that's free. Well, I pay for that myself. That's separate. But what isn't free is you folks need to make that pledge because this station needs to stay on the air. This station goes off the air. This show goes off the air. It doesn't work any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And we need you to do this. Steve and I will be the video chat.
Have you decided which one to use yet?
Yes, it's up on the. Okay. It'll show up. We'll be using Big Blue Button again. We'll be using the Mastermind Lounge. It'll be the Soundbites Lounge. We'll be going there tomorrow night at 9 p.m. You're welcome to join us. Just go to it's still set up at soundbites.org/Jitsi because I didn't bother to change the URL because people have bookmarked it. But it's if you go there tomorrow night between 9 and 10 p.m., you will see a link to join us for a live chat, and we will talk about anything, but we'll be happy to answer your computer questions.
I wish I could stay up there. I got to apologize because folks will say, well, where's Dave?
Dave's old.
Yeah. And to be quite honest with you, 9 o'clock is literally past my bedtime when you have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you get up at stupid a.m.
Yeah, I do.
You really do. we get that. Believe me, we get that.
I've been still up at stupid a.m.
Yeah, I'm still right. I did not realize that you could wake up to that time. I thought you could only go to bed at that time.
Yeah.
But for the rest of you, we'll be there. I also do that for the Ask Nick newsletter subscribers. We do that on Wednesday night, and we had a great chat this week talking about various things. People asked a few questions, got their answers. They were very happy. It all works out. And we're happy to do that for you either through the Ask Nick newsletter or through the Soundbites connection on Sunday nights. But really, if you really love what we do and you really are appreciative that we're here, please make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It only takes a couple of minutes.
And Steve's wife's here to answer the phones and take your call and, you know, make it fast and easy. And then if you have a question on that, she'll transfer you right on over and we get you on the air like a couple of the other callers have done.
That's exactly
and
right.
And speaking of callers, I want to go back to something the previous caller with his DNS error. The DNS error may actually have been an internet error. It wasn't connecting to the DNS because he's not connected to the internet. And as
that's true.
As Archandra points out in the YouTube chat, take a look at your modem lights when it's working normally, so you know what they're supposed to be like. And when they're not working, you can kind of tell. And then when you're restarting your modem, when they go back to looking like they normally do, it's back up and running.
Yeah, usually you'll see the data and internet connection lights flashing constantly.
Yeah, sometimes some of
that's
the modems
the heartbeat.
Yep. Yeah, some of the modems have an internet light or a globe icon that comes on and stays on. And so one of the things you can do is in your web browser to bypass the DNS and just go straight to the internet is type in Google's address. The 172.217.10.110.
Right.
And then if your browser gets there, you know the internet is working, but the DNS is not. So that's something. And if you're, you know, like command lines, you can do ping google.com, and that's the very lowest level. It will tell you what the address is, and it will tell you if your computer can talk over the internet at all.
If it's getting out.
Yeah.
Right. So it is, and you're right, to go back to what Richard said, it's complex. There's a lot of interconnected pieces there. It could be your computer. It could be your router. It could be the Spectrum router. It could be the next step down the line or the next step down the line. And troubleshooting that is not easy, but the easiest thing to do to make it all the problems at your end at least go away is to, as we told Richard, shut everything down, wait 20, 30 minutes, and then turn everything back on, starting with the farthest away from you, which would be the Spectrum router in his case, then the next thing in the line, which would be his own wireless router, and then the next thing in line, which would be the various computing devices he uses.
Right. Well, you start with one computer and make sure that works before you crank all the other ones.
Well, right. But right.
That's one thing, folks. Rest assured. The advice that we give here, any of it that we give is stuff that you can do safely and securely. It's just like we do not advocate going into the registry and playing around with that, or going into certain parts of the programs and mucking around with that. Because once you get in there and do that, it could do unrepairable damage that you've got, you know, to literally wipe everything out. So that's why we will not ever do anything that is that high of a level and telling our listeners to go in and do this or that. Anything that we recommend is something that's user-friendly and easy to do. But again, even though it's user-friendly, you have to take your time and do it step by step, just like doing the security tangle. Nick has always said, you don't skip any steps, or you're out of step with the dance.
Right. You're no longer dancing. You're just stumbling around.
Yeah. So, you know, it takes some patience. And I know some folks just get very frustrated, and you don't want to just quick get it done. Well, it doesn't work that way. It probably took some time to get mucked up like it did, so it's going to take a little longer time to unmuck it.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, you can't rush this stuff. You gotta take your time and let it happen.
You have to be patient. And it's just like when we tell you folks you're installing software. We have heard over the years countless, well, I didn't click on that. Well, you did when you went ahead and installed that software. You didn't take the time to read all those little screens that you were just saying, yeah, okay. And then all of a sudden it added three more toolbars to your Windows, search engine. And you wonder, how the heck did those get in there? Or all of a sudden you're getting all these ads and everything else because, oh, when you were installing that software, you agreed to it.
Right.
Take your time and do it slowly. That's the one thing I can't stress enough.
That's right. And it's easy enough to do if you take your time. And that's all it takes is a little patience.
Right. I read a story about, before we get to break, someone was having trouble installing software, so they called tech support. And they say, well, what happens? Well, I insert disk one, and then it says to insert disk two. So I inserted disk two, and nothing happened. So I tried to insert disk three, and I couldn't fit it in the drive. How did you get two disks in the drive in the first place?
Right. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that one, and I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've also seen back when it was 5 1/4 inch floppies, people would slide them in between the two drives.
Yep.
Oh, I could tell you one, but I got to tell it off air.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I don't want to know where they put it. Go ahead.
No, it was a disk drive, but it says NS Lookup is a wonderful tool. Tells you if you're working, if it's working, and the name server it is using.
Right. There are tools on your computer. NS Lookup is one of them.
Name server lookup.
Right. And what you can do is look up NS Lookup. Use NS Lookup to look up. Too much. Never mind. You get it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's a network administration command line tool. And what it does is it queries that domain name system for various pieces of information. Wow, that was harder than it should have been. So you can say nslookup.google.com.
Yep. And it will tell you.
You're right.
It tells you who your current name server is. And then what the address for Google.com is.
Oh, I did have one other person ask. I was trying to think of the name of the program that we recommended. I couldn't think it off just yesterday. For changing the channel, you know how your internet will be on a certain channel, like 6, 5, 4, 3.
Right. You do that in the router. You do that in your...
Router administration.
Your router administration panel. So with most of the routers nowadays, you can... go there with your web browser, like not 192.168.0.0.
Well, that's why I was trying to look in my Orbi, and I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's there. Because I changed mine.
Does it have an app, or does that have a web browser? Because a lot of the new mesh networks, you can only do it in the app.
That's true.
So you have to go through and dig way down deep and find advanced settings, typically.
Orbi has both, and I'm pretty sure I did it in the browser.
Yeah.
So you go to advanced, and you go to administration, and then you go to advanced, and it's farther down.
I'll have to check that out. I didn't have time, and I just thought of it now.
Yeah,
I'll have to check it out on mine because.
But you do it at the router, and what you can do is set. There are 16. There are 15 channels. There are 24 channels, but you probably are only using 16. Never mind.
Yeah.
The fact is, there are multiple channels,
and most routers default to 6. So everyone's on 6. You're on 6. Your neighbor's on 6.
Right.
Your other neighbor's on 6.
That's right. Why I was trying to tell him that he could look and see where he might be able to switch it to another channel, and less usage.
Yeah. Right, and it's right. No interference. Nobody else is on that channel. I discovered I had a channel that was right at the very edges were people, but it really didn't interfere at all.
Yeah, in the early days, it always said to pick
6 or 14 is what they.
Well, did. And an empty channel between you and anybody else.
Right.
But now you can't find any of those empty channels because so many people are using Wi-Fi.
Boy, ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
But you can find a channel, generally speaking, that's less used, and you can use that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
I can't help myself.
I understand. And 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we go back to the phones, let me thank, I think we've already thanked Andrew and Michael, so I'm thanking Anonymous and Donald and David for their donations. Thanks to each and every one of you. We are closing in near the end of our pledge drive. We do this only a couple of times a year, and we really, really need your help. Just make a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We're pledged securely online at jazz901.org. And I'm talking to you, you podcast downloaders. And we need your help now more than ever. We know you count on us. Well, we're counting on you. Make that call and make that pledge. In the meantime, while you are doing that, it only takes a couple of minutes, no matter how you do it. You can call in and talk to our lovely volunteers who are standing by to take your calls, which would be great. Or you can do it securely online at jazz901.org, which would also be great. Before we get to the phones, let us also thank Brian and Lawrence and David, all of whom were generous enough to make that call and to make that pledge. In the meantime, we will go to the phones and we will talk to Joel from Pittsford, New York. Hiya, Joel. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. First of all, I am a longtime member, and I want to thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
And, well, you're most welcome. I run a website for a small nonprofit. It's a WordPress website. The site was hacked a week ago, and despite having a backup and working with the folks at the host, I was unable to get the site working again and had to wipe everything out and rebuild it. And so what I'm wondering about, if you guys have any experience with it, is it possible to build a site on a local computer, my personal computer, make any changes, and then instead of working online on the website, upload changes. That way I have a personal backup, and I can interact with the site from the computer, my own computer.
Not easily, but you can go the other way. So one of the things that I do is I run a couple of WordPress sites. And in fact, it doesn't matter if it's a WordPress site or I run a lot of non-WordPress sites, but it doesn't matter which it is. They generally have two components. One is the code, which is either, in the case of WordPress, it's either PHP or CSS.
And that's usually just raw text.
And that's just raw text. And the other is the database itself. In both of those cases, you should be able to download that code and those databases to your own machine. So you will have a backup that you could re-upload if you need to. In order to actually run WordPress on your machine, you'd have to turn it into a server. You'd have to load Apache. You'd have to load PHP, et cetera, et cetera. And that laptop then becomes vulnerable to all the kinds of things that servers are vulnerable to. So you might prefer to do that backup thing.
And I've posted a link from WordPress. There are several offline WordPress editors that are designed to be able to upload to WordPress to let you do your editing offline and then upload when you're done. By keeping a local copy of the files, it doesn't actually run from your computer, but you would have a copy there to re-upload if you need to.
Right. There is also a plugin called, I want to say WP Back. Hold on, I'm looking it up. Back WP Up.
Yeah, I actually had that, and when I tried to get things going back again, unfortunately, even working with the host, people were unable to get the site back running from the files that I had on Back WP Up. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I use a different one on the CIDR page. I'm going to look and see what that is.
Yeah.
And it downloads the files to my local computer as the destination.
Right. I just use curl, I believe I'm using, and I pull everything down that way.
Updraft.
Updraft works,
is
too.
The one that I use for CIDR.
I don't know who your provider is, but I'm a little worried about them. I understand that they would have no backups. That's not their job. But
right.
to be unable to take your backup and put it back up is
a little lazy on their part.
Is disconcerting at best. So one of the things that you can do, there are multiple programs. Are you using Windows?
I am using Windows, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if
you might also want to shop around for another place.
There's a on this WordPress site, there is a program called Windows Live Writer, or you can use Microsoft Office. Microsoft Word will publish to WordPress. Let me see what Windows Live Writer is. For the Mac, there's Mars Edit, which almost any basic text editor will work. It's just handy to have the plugins that let you upload to your WordPress site.
But what gets me, though, if he, you know, like Nick was saying, though, that's pretty disconcerting that, you know, he can't upload his backup to them and then reinstall it, you know, reestablish it. There's something that smells awful fishy there.
Right. Yeah. Well, at any rate, the idea here is that there are places where you can download the curl program, C-U-R-L, for Windows. That comes with almost every Unix-type operating system I've ever seen, but you can download it for Windows. And then you can just say from a command line, for example, you can say curl https://soundbites.org. And you can do it that way. Better might be wget, W-G-E-T. And I don't, let me see if you can find a wget for Windows. That would be lovely. Yes, you can get wget for Windows.
Okay.
And that's just as easy, if not, in fact, easier. You just say wget this place, and boom, down comes the whole website. You know, go into a directory and say wget your website, and it comes right down without.
And does that pull the database as well?
Well, there's the other rub. It does not back up the database. For that, you want to take a look at almost every provider has a way that you can go into the database.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, you can, for example, most of them use PHP Admin. And in PHP Admin, you can download the database.
Oh, okay. I can do that, yeah.
Now, that's a by-hand way to do it, so you have to do it by hand. Like I said, there are automated ways to do it. I've got probably a dozen databases that I've written code that backs them all up to files, and then wgets all those files. And then my, you know, on the server, it backs them all up into files, into SQL files. And then on my desktop and on a couple of other devices, I download them every day so that I have multiple copies. But at the very least, using wget and PHP admin, you can download your website every single day. And you only need to download the website when you make changes to it. Right, it's the database that gets...
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, that's the one that gets constantly updated.
Okay, terrific. Well, thanks, guys. I think you've given me some ways to go, and I appreciate your help.
Thank you. All right, have fun. Yeah, it's now we're getting into some stuff. I mean, you want to say wget slash r, dash r, which is recursive, and then the blah, blah, blah. But you can find out how to do all of that online.
It looks like WordPress has its own apps too for all the OSs.
Nice.
So you can use that as well
to download and, to backup.
Yeah, to download and edit. And it doesn't have to be hosted at WordPress. You can put your own URL in.
Oh, that is
in.
Nice. I'll have to see if
I'm just downloading it myself. See how it works.
You ready?
In a moment. I want to thank Brian. I want to thank Lawrence, and I want to thank David. Did I already thank them? I'm thanking them again. I'm thanking them, and I'm also thanking David and Donald and Anonymous and Michael and Andrew for becoming members of this station. One of the benefits of being a member of Jazz 90.1 is that you personally can feel very proud when I say, all right, kiddies, get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, and sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. Because if we can slap them awake, it's story time with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave! Uncle Dave!
Yeah?
Wake up.
It's been a long sleep.
It has been a nap for you.
A long time. But I am definitely riled.
What now, Uncle Dave?
All right. I can't stress enough that folks have to definitely do due diligence in searching out stuff. And what I am talking about is a big ripoff. All right, here's what I'm talking about. Amazon, as you well know, had their so-called Prime Days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, they got Prime to rip you off. And what I mean by that is I literally, the wife was hinting around for Christmas that she'd like a mixer.
Sure.
And it's a brand name mixer, which a lot of folks, if they're into cooking, will be able to figure it out. All right. So the day before Prime, I thought, okay, I want to check this out. And I booked, you know, I added it to my list.
Yeah.
With some other things that in the future I might want to get. Well, one of this is this mixer. And it had this one price. So, boom. Come the 12th there, when it was prime days, I go in and look. Not only was it on sale, but they jacked it up $60.
Wow, $60.
$60. It literally went from $297 up to $367. It's probably a little bit more than that, but $70. Actually, if you
$70, exactly.
Yeah, $70. And then I went down and looked at some of these other items that I had marked, and I knew the prices. And they were a small quantity, but all of those had jacked up at least $3 or $4.
Unbelievable.
And it's like, wait a minute. You know, folks, I know we're getting into the holiday season, and some of these folks are literally trying to do early shopping because money is tight. But when you turn around and jack things up, supposedly when there's a sale going on, oh, no way. That's not a good way to treat your customers. And especially, it was one of those prime deals. And they even took it off of Prime.
Wow.
And it's like, you know what? I'll go looking somewhere else. I'll be darned.
Ain't that the truth?
But again, folks, I can't stress enough. Yes, the computer makes things easy to, you know, do your shopping. And Amazon is great. You know, you can find anything and everything. But do your due diligence right now and looking around for pricing. And no, Rob, I can't turn that off.
Yeah, he's tried. He can't do it.
Well, he keeps saying JC, and I wanted to know how much. I was going to text him back. How much did he give? Yeah, right. But I figured out. But anyways, that really ripped me off. Mm-hmm.
You hear about a lot of companies will raise their prices just before a sale.
Yeah.
So they look like it's on sale, but that's usually what it sells for normally.
Years, and back in the 60s, my sainted mother, God rest her soul, worked for a department store that no longer exists. And they had, she was not involved in this, but mm-hmm. they had a bunch of kids' shoes that would not sell, would not move. So they jacked the price up, threw them all in a barrel, and stuck a sale sign in it. They were gone in 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Just having a sale sign on
yeah,
it. Enough.
They, yeah, because
and folks, they didn't lie. They were on sale, not on sale for less. They yeah. were for sale. Yeah. yeah. So yeah, there's we see that quite regularly, and I understand that this would rile up Uncle Dave.
Yeah, I mean, you know, folks, I'm very leery, and that's why, you know, I purposely marked all these things. One of the other things that I was looking at is literally a setup just like this.
Yeah, a microphone
setup. With the microphone setup and all that. It was originally, I believe, with the microphone and the thing, it was like, I want to say $24.
It's not bad.
No. And it was the shock unit, the whole shock unit to hold the mic and everything else. I just have to get the cable that goes from the mic over to my radio.
Sure.
And so that was that. I look at it, it's up to $37.
Yep.
And it's like, really? I mean, hello?
The closer you get to the holidays, the more things cost. That's a simple fact. Also, you wouldn't believe how cheap these things were until YouTube and TikTok and all of that got popular, and every 13-year-old girl in the world was buying this stuff.
Yeah.
Or asking their parents to
buy the internet has killed collectability, because things used to be collectible because they were hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not anymore.
But just to take advantage of folks, to sit there and say, oh, yeah, it's Prime Days, you're going to be able to save sales. What is it? On a couple of things that I wouldn't want to.
Yep.
It's almost like they tracked what I was searching for.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And they kind of track what, you know, it's going to be hot for folks. And then mark them up.
Yeah, not just you. It's everybody.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
Wish list is not for you. It's for Amazon. They don't do it if it's for you.
Well, that's why if folks really notice, you know, if you're, say, doing a search for something in Amazon, or anywhere's really. Have you ever noticed that when you're in Google, all of a sudden all these other ads start popping up?
Oh, yes.
And they're suggesting, well, maybe you should try this or you should try that.
My favorite is I get things from Amazon that say, we found something you might be interested in. And I have to look at it and say, yes, I was so interested, I bought it last week.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I get the ones, hey, why don't you treat yourself to something? And it's from my own wish list.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. I think we're kind of done with Uncle Dave. So, kitties.
Thank you.
So, kitties, take off your footy jammy. Put those empty cocoa mugs in the dishwasher. And change out of your footy jammies. And
if they haven't broken them, out of rage and frustration. Oh.
And we'll put Uncle Dave back to sleep for another however many days. And in the meantime, I definitely want to thank Ralph and Judy and Bonnie for their generous donations. We are in the middle of a pledge drive. And let me remind you that if you pledge at the $120 level, you can get the really amazing Soundbites branded wireless charger, and it's only, you know, it's only $120 level. It's real simple, and if you're one of those people who believes in Jazzomatic, you can do it for a mere $12.50 a month for a year. $12.50 a month, and we won't wait the year to send you your wireless charger. We'll just send it to you right away. So make that call, make that pledge, $150. It's easy enough to do, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Okay, we did get another text in. It says, any reason to upgrade to Wi-Fi 6 mesh system? Currently have the original Linksys Velop, V-E-L-O-P, mesh AC system.
Yes, hello? If you're having trouble with your current system, then upgrading to Wi-Fi 6 will be useful. If not, then it might be a little faster.
Theoretically faster copying from device to device. You know, so if you copy files between your computers, that could be faster. You won't necessarily get any faster internet service. Because most of the time, your routers, you know, even Wi-Fi 5 is 1,300 megabit.
Right.
And no one has internet service that fast much.
Right.
Yeah.
You may end up with only 400 or 500 megabit, but that has a lot more to do with all the crosstalk and chatter and stuff like that. And Wi-Fi 6 isn't going to make that part any better. So, honestly, Wi-Fi 6, Wi-Fi 5, 220, 221, whatever it takes, that's fine. All right, again, let me thank Bonnie and Judy and Ralph and David and Lawrence and Brian and David and Donald and Anonymous and Michael and Andrew for their generous support of us. You still have plenty of time to make that pledge online, jazz901.org. Click the big blue donate button. Make that scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff and make that pledge. And all of you podcasters, get on the stick. We need your help. We need your assistance. Do it now. We'll be back in next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 56 minutes after the hour. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here in the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you as we continue to be solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?